I've been fine all day, except for when I was behind the pulpit at the funeral home, I started coughing. And then now here I am behind our pulpit and I start coughing. At the funeral home, I blamed it on the flowers, the fresh flowers. But I ain't got nothing to blame it on here. We got beautiful flowers, but they're not the fresh cut flowers. I don't think they are. They're not fresh cut. It's like, no, preacher, they've been there for 2 weeks. They don't look like that after 2 weeks. they're beautiful, and I'm thankful for them. I love how they look. But I don't know what I'll blame. We'll blame the devil. How about that? Amen. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 5. This is about prayer, and I know I've already indicated that tonight, but I want to read to you, if you let me. Pray for me. Let me get a sip of water and then I'll start reading. How about that? Okay, maybe a gulp. Verse 5 says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Heavenly Father, please bless the reading of your word. Please use it for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to preach to you tonight on this thought, prayer. And I'll just give you this. The definition of prayer or praying is an address that is made to God, and it is chiefly a petition. There are prayers of thanksgiving, and there are prayers of worship and praise, but it is primarily a time to petition God for the needs that you have. And there are some things that we need to know about prayer and about praying that may help us navigate our prayer life, and that's what I want to try and do tonight. I'm going to do my best to kind of teach to you tonight and maybe help you with some things that maybe you've been wondering or been concerned in your mind. I know the Lord lays things on my heart that necessarily not always what I think that I need, and then after I get done I'm like, man, Lord, I needed that as much as the people that heard it did, and so maybe it'll be something in here. But it's my goal at the end of this message that you have more confidence in God, and in that confidence you develop a greater zeal to pray and to get a hold of God. There's nothing that'll boost your confidence in the Lord like answered prayer. I mean, when it's something, I like them secret answered prayers, you know, them ones that I've prayed about by myself and nobody else knows anything about it, and then God answers it. Amen. And a lot of times, I know I read it to you, the Lord sees in secret and He'll reward us openly, and thank God for that. But man, those private prayers that you pray just between you and God, you might not even share them with your spouse, and the Lord does something and just shows up in a great and mighty way. That you talk about bolstering up your confidence in Him and making you want to pray more. And so it's my goal that as I speak to you tonight, that you develop that confidence in God and you develop a greater zeal to go to Him and petition Him, not just when you're in need, but every single day of your life. That prayer becomes a place in your life that is something that you can't live without. I learned years ago that the more consistently I pray, the more I depend on that time of prayer. It's kin to working anything out. You guys, you know I love to run. I love running, but I can't run a long distance if I'm not consistent with short distances over a long period of time. And you don't have to have an hour-long prayer session every time that you go to pray. That's not what I'm preaching to you. I'm preaching to you to build a time where you know that you're communicating with the Lord, and then you start to depend on that daily communication with Him to get you through more days. It's not going to happen overnight. You're not going to wake up tomorrow morning and have the dedication and commitment and consistency that some other prayer warriors have. We talked a lot about Miss Betty, and something that I did not say and had not say about her. Miss Betty was a prayer warrior. And I mean, when she looked at you and she told you, "I'm praying for you," man, there was something in her eyes that let you know this woman was going to literally, audibly call your name out to God. And you weren't going to have to worry about whether or not she was just saying it to be a cliche. She meant it, man. She was going to pray. And so with that in mind, how much greater of a church could Gateway be if everybody developed a sincere, strong prayer life that they depended on every single day? I believe God could shake the foundations of our church and our community if we turned into prayer warriors. Amen. You're either a worrier or you're a prayer warrior. That's the truth. Amen. You either are worried about something or you're praying about something. Because when you give it over to God, He's going to take care of it. He knows what you stand in need of. I'm getting a little bit off track, but one preacher said, I believe it was D.L. Moody. I didn't have the quote. I just said a preacher of yesteryear, but I'm pretty certain it was D.L. Moody, who was the founder of the Pacific Garden Missions and great, great preacher of the late 1800s, early 1900s, and saw thousands upon thousands saved. But anyway, D.L. Moody, I'm pretty sure it was him, once said, "What small trickles and streams we know of the grace of God when there are rivers and even oceans available to the man who prays." Man, there's so much more to the Christian life. There's so much more that we can get from God that if we learn to pray, we will see our lives changed in a great and mighty way. And in Matthew 6, 5 through 15, Jesus has some things that He says about prayer. And in these 10 verses, we find help for our prayer lives. And so I want to look now at the Word of God and see some things. First, we see some things that are essential to know about praying in verses 5 through 8. So I want to read those verses again. The Bible says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the temple," or in the synagogues, "and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before you ask Him." The things that we need to know about prayer, or there are things that we need to know about prayer and that we must understand. First off, and maybe it sounds like I'm starting out on kind of a somber note, but there are prayers that God rejects. And I think that's something that hasn't been taught a lot in church. The Lord knows our need. So if we're telling God our need when it's not really our need, I like it. Me and Brother Brad's had a running joke for years about 2,500 truck. Now here I am driving one, brother. But we've had about how we would pray, "Lord, I need this truck." And man, them Dodge 2,500 Laramies, they look real good. Amen. The, you know, the bighorn calves, y'all, some of y'all don't research trucks, y'all don't know. But man, them things are nice. They got all the bells and whistles, and you think, man, Lord, if you just give me this truck, I could drive it like I do the other one, you know. But I would pray, and I would really pray, Lord, give me this truck. Well, you know what? That's not what I need. I needed transportation. And in my ignorance, instead of praying for, you know, I'd hear preachers pray, well, you ought to pray specifically. Well, okay, well, I'm going to pray for at that time, a 2014 model, amen. Good-looking truck with low miles. Lord, give it to me. Give it to me, Lord. Well, that wasn't what I needed. What I needed was a vehicle that would get me from point A to point B. But I was too busy trying to pray for something that God was obviously saying that's not what you need. It might be what you want, but it is not what you need. And so God is not what's the word I'm looking for here? He is not, I can't think of the word. It's right on the tip of my tongue. God is not obligated. There we go. God is not obligated. It gets worse, doesn't it? God is not obligated to answer a prayer that is not a need. He's not obligated. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory. And we have to distinguish in our mind the difference between a need and a want. And we have to mature in our heart's desire to learn the difference between a need and a want, especially when we're praying. So there are prayers that God rejects. They're boastful prayers. Are rejected by God. Matthew 6:5 said, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. He rejects them because they glorify the man praying rather than God, who he's supposed to be praying to. Their reward is nothing more than the praise of man. How shallow of Christianity it must be to only seek the reward of men. If the only reason that we preached on Sunday morning or taught a Sunday school class or served as a deacon or served in any capacity in the church was so that somebody could come by and give us a pat on the back and give us an attaboy, it wouldn't be long. But I'm going to tell you something. The attaboys end when you say things that people don't like. Amen? And the attaboys stop when you say something that's biblically sound but not socially acceptable. The attaboys fade. And so if all you're looking for is the praise of men, it's not going to work out very well, and it's not going to end very well for you. A guy that I worked 4 years ago, he told me, he said, hey, he called me Agin. This is before I was known as preacher. He said, hey, Agin, you know what a pat on the back is? And I was like, it's a pat on the back. And he said, no, do you know what a pat on the back is? And I'm like, no. And he said, it's only that far from kicking the tail. Get to work. You know, I mean, sometimes we lose sight of what reality is because we look for the praise of men rather than the praise of God. Boastful prayer is not helpful to us, and speaking in flowery language, it might sound good in church, but heaven's grossed out by it. If I can just throw it out there with you. Babbling prayers are rejected. Babbling prayers. Verses 7 and 8 says, but when you pray, use not vain repetition as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. I think some of this has trickled into some meetings before that I've been in. Because I've been in meetings where there's always that one guy, and he prays louder than everybody else. He gets longer than everybody else. And he says the same thing or the same three things over and over and over again. And then when everybody else has quit praying, then he says, amen. No, don't throw nothing at me now.
You're right.
There was no intention of getting a hold of God. Now, there's been times, I've been in other meetings where one man prayed loud and long, and I'm talking about heaven fell. But when you got the guy that, if I can borrow Brother Jeff's phrase, it's one of the Energizer Bunny, You got one guy that's praying like the Energizer Bunny. He just keeps going and going and going, and he's saying the same thing over and over and over again. That's vain repetition. That's what it is. God is not deaf. God does not slumber, neither does he sleep. God is not unaware of your prayers. You can pray the same prayer multiple times, but in the same singular prayer, it is unwise for you to remind God over and over and over and over and over again. I believe that. I believe that is a vain babble. If you believe that you are speaking to the God of all heaven and glory, his ears have not been cut off. And you don't have to say it 10 times over to get him to hear you. He heard you the first time. You've got enough to pray about where you can pray about this one thing, and then you need to start moving on to something else. There are vain babbling that comes out of men's mouths that we think sounds good, but really it's just babbling prayers that show a lack of devotion to God. If we really believed that we're talking to the Lord of glory and the King of kings and the ruler of the universe, we won't have to worry about whether or not he can hear me one time. Now you go back to the Lord. Let's say you pray on Monday morning at 4 o'clock in the morning. You get up and you pray. In the first 15 minutes, you're praying. And you say, Lord, I need this. And then you leave it with him. He doesn't provide it for you that day. So you wake up at Tuesday morning at 4 o'clock in the morning. About 15 minutes in, you say to the Lord, Lord, I prayed about this yesterday. But just in case, I'm going to pray about it again. Y'all all right? You do that. Keep going. I got enough confidence in God that by the time you get to day 4 or 5, either one of two things is going to happen. Either he's going to answer, or he's already answered you and you didn't get the answer that you wanted to hear, so you keep bringing it back to him. He might have said no. God is not obligated to always say yes to us. God is not. At dinner time, we pray. When we sit down, it's one of the things that we are blessed to do. I know not every family gets to do this, but we're blessed to get to sit down at dinner time just about every weeknight. We sit down, the five of us, and we eat dinner together. And a lot of times, Lane will pray. And the other day, he was praying. He's never said this before. I thought it was unusual, and maybe he'd heard it somewhere. But in his prayer, he said, Lord, bless this food. And then he says, I hope that we have a good day tomorrow. Amen. And as soon as he got done praying, I spoke to him because I'm trying to teach him, if I don't disciple my family, nobody else will. And so in that moment, I took time and I said, son, you don't have to pray. When you pray to the Lord, you don't have to pray to him, I hope that we have a good day tomorrow. You can say, you're not going to God to get your wishes granted for a good day tomorrow. You can say, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Could you imagine if Jesus would have said, now when you pray, pray to the Lord and say, I hope you'll give me my daily bread tomorrow. That doesn't exemplify confidence in God. And so when we pray, we don't have to hope in something or say, Lord, I hope that you will deliver me, or I hope that you will answer this prayer. You can just pray it, and God will do it, or he won't. Let your yeas be yea, and your nays be nay. God is a yes or no God. There are answers that you can get out of prayer. Here's what I've learned. There are three answers that God will give you. Yes, no, or wait. Those are the three. He's never been a maybe God, but he has many times told me to wait. Wait. I don't like waiting. You don't like waiting either. None of us do, but there are babbling prayers that are rejected by God. Watch what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13 when he's talking about love. And he says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, though I got the sweetest language that you've ever heard roll off a human tongue. Though I speak with this and I have not charity, love. Love for who? Love for the brethren? Mm-mm. Love for God. And I have not love, I am become a sounding brass or a tingling cymbal. That's all. There's a story in the Bible that shows us a picture of these two types of prayer, and we'll look at it in just a few minutes. But first, there are prayers that God receives. Praise God. There are prayers that God rejects, but there are prayers that God receives. And I'm thankful to the Lord for it. Matthew 6:6 says, "But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." This prayer, this type of prayer, is a sincere prayer. This is the type of praying that exalts God. It is from the heart, and it is private between you and Him. That way, if it is secret, like I was talking about at the beginning of this thing, if it's a secret prayer, something that you're praying about, and God opens it up and publicly answers that prayer, you know what's going to happen to you? You're going to publicly praise God. You're going to publicly give Him glory. You're going to publicly exalt the Lord for who and what He is and what He did in that kind of prayer. Amen? So here's the story that I mentioned a moment ago. In Luke 18, verses 10 through 14, we read about two men that the Bible says they went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank Thee that I am not as other men are." It is almost comical when you read this prayer. I mean, if you've ever wondered whether or not the Lord had a sense of humor, here it is. Because He laid it out. I mean, who He's talking to here? He's talking to these disciples. This is the same passage of Scripture where He said men ought always to pray and not to faint. That's in verse number 1 of this chapter. And then here He is talking about these two men. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank Thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican." Could you imagine your pastor standing in the pulpit, and before I start to preach, I stop and I say, "Lord, I thank You that I'm not like Brother David Bass." Could you imagine that? Could you imagine if I said, Lord, I thank you that I am not like Billy Hicks. Lord, I praise Your holy name that I am not like Brother David Hardy. Lord, that I'm not like Brother John. Come on, yeah. Could you imagine that if I got up here and then I started picking? What if I started saying extortioner, unjust? Y'all would throw something at me then. Shut up, preacher. What about you? Like one fella I used to work with that'd tell me all the time, "Clean your own porch off, preacher." Amen. I mean, the audacity that this Pharisee had to be in a public place and to say something like this, "I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers." These were his buddies that he was standing around. He knew what they were doing. How did he know that they were doing adultery? He was with them. How did he know that they were extortioners? He was participating. But he had the audacity to tell God, "I thank You that I'm not like them, or even as this publican." I wonder if he took his hand and went off to the side and pointed him out to God as the man stood in the corner with his head bowed down, humiliated. Or maybe the publican had earlier that day committed extortion and had been unjust. Or maybe the night before he had spent the night in adultery, but he still came to church. And that Pharisee maybe knew a little something too much, but thought it'd be okay to call it out. Or even as this publican. I love this little publican. This Pharisee said, "I fast twice in the week." Well, you probably ought to fast all 7 days. "I give tithes of all that I possess." What a picture of a boastful, babbling man trying to bring glory to himself. But notice these next verses. I love this old publican. I identify with this publican right here. "And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you that this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. God honors sincerity and humility in our prayers. We go further in this passage, we find more of Jesus preaching on the subject of prayer. And so verses 9 through 13, I want to read those to you. The Bible says, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." I believe that we most commonly know that prayer that Jesus gave to them as the Lord's Prayer. But because that's what, quite frankly, that's what the commentators named it. The scholars of old, could have been the Catholic Church that named it that. I don't know that they did, but I definitely know that I have some Bibles, some Scofield Bibles, that call it the Lord's Prayer. But it's not the Lord's Prayer. It's the Lord teaching us how to pray. If you want to read the Lord's Prayer, go to John chapter 17. And you can read what Jesus prayed when he prayed to the Father. And you can learn more. This is not the Lord's Prayer. This is the Lord's model of a prayer for you and I. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. This is what Jesus is teaching us to pray and teaching the disciples to pray in those days. So Jesus gave us in those verses 9 elements of prayer here. So y'all thought I was done. We're probably going all the way to 8:20 tonight. Y'all okay? He gave us 9 elements of prayer in verses 9 through 13. He's teaching us the way to pray. He said, "After this manner, therefore pray ye." In Luke 11, one of the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to pray. And so he's showing them how to pray. And the first thing that he is he's demonstrating to them faith. Our Father, which art in heaven. Now, how do I know that he's demonstrating faith by simply saying that phrase, our Father, which art in heaven? Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him," God. "For he that cometh to God," now listen to this, "for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." The initial start of prayer is faith, believing who it is that you're praying to. The next thing that is taught is worship. Faith and worship is the second element of prayer. Hallowed be thy name. The word hallowed means holy, consecrated, sacred, revered. His name. Hallowed, sacred, consecrated, holy, hallowed is thy name. Not my name, thy name, Lord. Not David Bass's name, your name, Lord. Not Billy Hicks, your name, Lord. Hallowed be thy name. He's teaching us to worship him. Psalm 138:2 says, "I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name." He's teaching us to pray in faith. He's teaching us to worship. He's teaching us expectation when we pray. I believe one of the greatest things that you can learn to do in your prayer life is to learn to expect God to do what you're asking him to do. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The next phrase, thy kingdom come. I hope you're looking for the Lord. I hope you're looking for Him to move in your life. Titus 2:13 said, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Not only expectation of His coming, but praying with expectancy to receive what you've prayed about. I think I talked about this either Sunday morning or Sunday night. James chapter number 5. Verses 16 through 18, the Bible says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. I fully and wholeheartedly believe that Elijah believed God would hear and answer his prayer, both when he prayed for the drought and when he prayed for the drought to end. I believe when he was praying and he sent that servant up to go look and see if that, and when he was about to meet up with Ahab, and he said, go up again. He said, went up 7 times, I believe it was. He kept going up there, and he kept going up there, and he said, what do you see? And he said, I see a cloud as a man's hand. Now, whether or not it was a giant cloud shaped like a man's hand or whether it was a little cloud that was the size of a man's hand in the sky, I don't know. It's not worth arguing about. But I will tell you this. After that time, when he came back down and he told that to Elijah, Elijah said, you better get up, for I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. I remember one Sunday morning, y'all might remember this, some of you, I was preaching on this, and I said that. I said, I hear the sound of abundance of rain. About that time, there was a clap of thunder, and I'm talking about the sky, the bottom dropped out while I was preaching. I thought, praise God. Lord gave me some theatrics this morning. What about that? Hey, man, I'm talking about it was just pouring down rain. And somebody texted me, I believe it was little Miss Carol texted me on the way home. She said, not even a mile down the road, it's bone dry. Amen. The Lord sending that message home that morning. I don't know that that's why God did that. I'm just saying that's how it happened. The Lord wants us to pray with expectation, thy kingdom come. He wants us to pray with submission, thy will be done. Notice he did not say, my will be done. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Romans 10:3-4 said, for they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to every one that believeth. When we submit to the Lord, He gets more of us. And that's what the righteousness of the Lord is. The Lord says, I am righteousness. I have righteousness to impart to you. But until you submit and allow me control, you're not going to get any more of this righteousness that I can give to you. He wants us to submit to Him. Petition. We're on number 5. We're moving pretty good, y'all. Petition. Give us this day. I believe God is daily concerned for His children, and I believe that He wants to hear from us daily, and I also believe that He wants to provide for us daily. I text my children nearly every day. I think about them. I want them to know that I think about them, but I get a thrill when they text me back. It does my heart good. Man, when I shoot them a text and a few minutes goes by, I start getting a little bit worried about them. You know, I'm like, okay, I'll give Luke a little bit of reprieve. He's a working man now. He might not be able to check his phone. And boss man might be around. He can't look at his phone. But that girl, I know where she's at. She better get to texting because that thing's always in her hand. And then the youngest one, well, he don't give a flip if you text him or not. Because he don't check his every morning. He ain't got induced in the virtual world yet, I guess. He checks his on an iPad that only works at home. But I still text him. Because when he does finally open it, like he did today, to text his brother how to turn the Wii game console on, he didn't check my text messages that said, good morning, son, I love you, I hope you have a great day. He just said, Luke, how do I turn this on? And ignored my text. So I go, that's a blessing, isn't it? I believe the Lord wants to hear from me. And just as I am His child and He is my Father, I believe He wants to provide for me every single day. Matthew 7, verses 7 through 11 says, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you whom if his son ask bread, he will give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, he will give him a serpent. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him? Man, He wants you to petition Him. He wants to hear from you. He taught us confession. Another element of prayer here. Confession. Forgive us. 1 John 1, 7 through 9 says, but if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a relief it is to unladen your sins in Calvary's crimson flow. What a privilege it is to get that off of your back and off of your chest and, man, to get rid of that. The old song says, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Get it under the blood. Amen. Thank God for forgiveness that was bought and paid for by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Get it under the blood. Confess it. Compassion. The Lord taught us compassion in this prayer. As we forgive. Forgive us as we forgive. What great compassion God has shown to us. It should be that we can pass compassion on and forgive those who have wronged us. Amen. Just yesterday, something happened at work. Made me so stinking mad. I could spit nails. I was so mad, so angry at one individual. Oh, so angry. And I got in at lunchtime, getting in the back of that van. My Bible was there. I looked at my Bible and I said, Lord, I forgive him. Now, a few minutes later, after I got myself riled back up, I said, Lord, I forgive him. Last night, I laid my head down and I got to thinking about it. When I got home from work, I told Tara about it because Miss Confidant, amen, talked with Miss Tara about it, told her. She sat there and just listened to me, let me complain. And I got up and walked outside to do something, and I was walking outside. I said, Lord, I forgive him. I laid down last night. I was angry. I knew that I had to get up in the morning and go preach to people that were hurting. And so I couldn't harbor that anger in my heart as bad as I wanted to. I said, Lord, I forgive him. And any further dealings that he and I have together, you're going to have to guide him. I forgive him, Lord. And I pillowed my head and I slept real good last night. Sometimes you just have to forgive them. There's a popular phrase right now in pop culture that says, let them. I don't know exactly what that means, but if you will forgive them, it will let you go on free. Matthew 18, verses 21 and 22 says, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him, till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Matthew 6, 14 and 15 says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. My forgiveness hinges on the willingness I have to forgive someone else. My freedom, my peace with God is determined by whether or not I am willing to forgive someone. This is what Jesus meant when he said, whatever judgment you mete out, that's what you're going to be judged with. Whatever you're willing for people to go through, that's what I'm going to hand down to you. My goodness. See, we want grace and mercy and compassion given to us. But when it comes to extending those same virtues, man, we're scarce with it. And we don't have to be. The Lord taught us compassion as we forgive. Ephesians 4:32 says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Colossians 3:13 says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. The greatest compassion that we can give to others and to ourselves is forgiveness. Number eight, new beginnings. Seven is perfection. Number eight is new beginnings. God taught us dependence. Lead us not into temptation. Psalm 31, let me say this. That phrase, lead us not into temptation, is not said to the Lord because there is the fear of Him leading us into temptation, but rather that while He goes before us, we don't want to go in temptation. Lead us not into temptation. Psalm 31, 3, 4. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me. For thou art my strength. There are always the traps and the distractions and the wiles of Satan will always be there. And it will be the Lord that will bring us through those and bring us out of them. Psalm 48, 14 said, for this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says that. I don't know all of what to do or where to go or even what to say, but my guide does. And so I'll just depend on Him. I'm just learning to lean. Learning to lean. Last thing. Acknowledgement. It's something the Lord taught us. Matthew 6:13, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. It's His kingdom. It's His power. And it is His glory. And it is wise of us to acknowledge that in our prayer lives. Lord, I want this to happen because this is Your kingdom. This is for Your display of power. It is for Your glory in my life. Acknowledgement in our prayer lives. So much more than just face value of the Scripture when we study the Word of God and dig into the Word of God. We're in our Sunday school class of, you know, Sydney and Luke is in there. We've been looking at a series of devotions on learning to better engage in our Bible, and we're about to start studying. Man, you can read the Bible all day long, but when you study that thing, and you start picking apart a word. I remember, study to show thyself approved. I remember one time a preacher got up and he took the word constraineth and he preached for 45 minutes from the word constraineth. Squeezing, catching. For the love of Christ, constraineth us. Knocked my socks off. So I went to him after the service and I said, how'd you do that? And he said, I studied the Word. I thought, what a novel idea. study to show thyself approved. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen. Study the word of God. It'll give you so much. All right. Let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Thank you so much for paying attention tonight. Lord, thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you've taught us. Thank you for what you give to us from the Bible. I pray, Lord, that I would ever be a student of the Word of God and that I would learn and grow more and more every single day. Help us, Lord, to be a student of prayer and to learn how to better pray and to be more consistent. Lord, help me, God, to be more consistent in my prayer life. Help me, Lord, to be more dedicated, more devoted in my prayer life and in my prayer time with you. God, help me to lean on you. Help me to exercise, Father, what I've preached tonight. Thank you for you. Thank you for our church. Bless and keep us and bring us all safely back on Sunday. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.